You're listening to A Senior Moment, the show for and about seniors. I'm Joanne Rideout. I'm here in the studio with Suzanne Bjornsson from Northwest Senior and Disability Services. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi.
It's nice to have you back. She was out on maternity leave for a while, but she's back. And Doug Schaefer from the Olympic Area Agency on Aging. Hi, Doug.
Hi. And I wasn't out on maternity leave.
So me neither. And so today we are talking about something sort of inevitable. At some point, all of our lives will come to an end. We hope not any sooner than necessary. But we're going to talk today about some of those things that you can do before and after death that can really make things go smoothly for family members who are going to handle all of a person's affairs after they die. And I've thought about this topic because my father passed away a few months ago, and I was really, really impressed with his preparedness because he really was on it. I mean, he went through bank accounts and arranged his funeral, and not everybody is willing to do that. But today we're going to talk a little bit about what you might do, a person might do, what families are going to should do after a person passes away, so that you can sort of have in mind some of those things that might come up in your family if something like this happens. So, Suzanne, you have such a great list of things. Can we start with you by talking about some of the things that you brought with you? She has just a really impressive and very thorough list of things, like after when the funeral's over and your head's still a little bit muddy, but there are things you need to take care of. This is a really comprehensive list of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't take full credit. I did a little bit of digging, did my research. But one thing that's important is getting copies of the death certificate and getting multiple copies of it, because a lot of your accounts are going to need that for proof. So that you're going to be able to get through the Vital Statistics Office. And then, of course, notifying Social Security is probably one of the very first things that you're going to want to do, and do it right away.
Right. And so on the death certificate thing, one thing that I found was that the funeral home that I dealt with for my father's death gave me like 5 copies of the death certificate.
Great.
And that was really great. And a couple of them were official and the others were photocopies. And that was really enough. And that, so that's something that you might ask a funeral home for, because they are used to providing all that stuff, and I think they notified Social Security.
Sometimes they do.
Yeah. So that's something that you can ask whether they might do that for. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
For you.
And some places, like Suzanne said, they require the certified copies. Mm-hmm. Others don't care. Mm-hmm. It's just a copy off the copy machine will do.
Yeah.
So you just need to ask, because the certified copies cost. So you need to find out. You know,
right. Anywhere between $10 to $20, and then. Also, if you make sure you notify any government agencies or state agencies that they are affiliated with, they'll want to know as well, or need to know.
Mm-hmm. So those sort of things that, all the sort of things that you don't really want to think about, but they do come up, and especially with Social Security, as we were talking before the show, if you wait to tell them that a loved one has passed away, you might have to pay back some of that money, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So that can just be really something you don't want to deal with while you're dealing with your grief and everything.
And you also,
go ahead. I'm sorry. The Medicare, I want to throw that there. Make sure you notify Medicare. Now, your A and B is going to be taken care of through Social Security knowing, but if you have any supplement or advantage plans, make sure that they're notified.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I was going to mention, was the insurance. Yeah, insurance plans, plus any pensions.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the pensions, depending upon how they signed up for their retirement, the pension may have a survivor piece to it.
Right.
Or it may not.
Right.
So it's good to check on those pensions too and see what else is going on there.
So, this sort of brings to mind, for me, things that a person could do before they die to make it a lot easier for their loved ones to handle it. And one of those things is making sure that your family members know the stuff that you have, like what kind of insurance do you have? What kind of retirement accounts do you have? Where's all that paperwork? Where's your Medicare card? Most people keep that in their wallet, but not everybody does anymore, keeps those things
not
in
the
their
best
wallet.
Place to keep it,
yeah,
might I add.
Right.
You want to guard those numbers.
But I know that...
And they're pretty weird numbers now.
Yeah, they've changed them all, so they're not your Social Security number anymore.
It's still a number that, if it got into the wrong hands, could not be good for you.
So one of the things that I was really impressed with my dad, a couple of years before he passed, he got a lawyer, sat down and said, you know, how can I make this really easy for my family? And so he arranged all kinds of things, like having the deed to his house revert to me, who was inheriting his house, having bank accounts, they call it payable on death, POD. And if you go to your bank, you can say exactly where you want your money to go, and then nobody can contest it. It's not a probate issue. The bank just gives the money to the person that you designate, and that is the bank. That overrides wills. It overrides everything else, and the bank takes it really seriously. So I think that's one thing that people can, that pay on death option is something that the person who owns the account has to arrange ahead of time, but that can just take a lot of the, just a lot of grief out of the whole thing, because it's something that you don't have to worry about. And so those are just a few things that, funeral arrangements, boy, my dad arranged his funeral stuff ahead of time and paid for it. It was really astonishing. I mean, he was really prepared. So I don't know that everybody is going to want to do all these things, but these are things that you can do that will allow your grieving family to have less to wrap their heads around, you know, afterwards.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that a lot of things, some of the things you can do, you're talking about burial stuff. If you get burial insurance, Purple Cross is probably the one that's most well-known.
Okay.
But if you get that ahead of time, and it builds up, and it matures, it's just like any other insurance in that way, but it is pretty comprehensive. Both of my parents had Purple Cross, and both of them had, when they passed, they had never actually told us they had it.
Oh.
So when they passed and we were making arrangements, and the funeral home actually did some checking and said, oh, and they had this, they had that.
Wow, wow.
So, and that's something that just kind of stays in the background. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to do all these things about it once it matures, especially. And it just sits there until it's needed.
Wow.
So, and there's other burial insurances, of course, too. But that's one less headache because people don't think about it. If they think about the funeral, usually they're thinking about what kind of service they want or who they want to do the service and that kind of stuff. They're not really thinking about the expenses of, you know, the coroner, the burial plot, whether you're going to be cremated or not. You're not thinking about all that stuff.
Right.
You're just thinking about the service. Well, there's some expense there. So,
Well, and I think some of these things that a person can do ahead of time, it's sort of if you have numerous people trying to handle the aftermath, there's no arguing about anything with some of these things. It's just this is what the person wanted done with their stuff, they arranged it ahead of time, and this is what's going to happen. And so there isn't any opportunity for any conflict about those things. So, you know, I know that not everybody may be comfortable with handling these things, but boy, it really just, I can say that I'm very grateful for my dad's foresight, because he was just very clear-headed, you know, about it, and I'm just grateful to him for many things, but that has just been extraordinary for me, and I never knew about any of that stuff before all this, before he did
that's
that.
That's something we just don't really talk about.
Yeah.
The other thing, too, is what people could do is make a list of all their bills.
Yeah.
You know, whether they have credit cards or ongoing subscriptions to whichever.
Mm-hmm.
Make a list of what all those bills are, maybe most important on. Right. And then if you have passwords associated with that.
Boy, that is so true.
Phone numbers. Then keep that someplace safe but accessible for somebody.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that sometimes, not always, but I think sometimes, like, I was in the position of handling my dad's finances for him in the last years of his life, and so I ended up getting all that stuff. But he was great. He had a book full of it. You know, he had a notebook with this is this account, and this is that, and that's this information. So he was very organized. But anyway, so those are just some things that you could think about beforehand to just smooth the way for your loved ones so that they can just deal with stuff. Because there's so much stuff to deal with.
Prior to passing, too, there's the whole idea of having a durable power of attorney.
Yes,
so that if something does occur and they're no longer able to dictate their wishes and desires, they may have all this stuff out there, but they're unable to access it or whatever, and they can't appoint you to do it because they can't communicate, for example, well, then that durable power of attorney is there. And it can be as broad or as narrow as you want it to be. So a lot of people think, well, I've got a power of attorney, but that stops.
Right.
You know, as soon as someone is incapable of communicating their wishes, the power of attorney is done. So that's why you have to look for the durable power of attorney.
Right, and look for a person that you trust with that power over you.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and then there's the other thing. Isn't it called a POLST? Or it's called different things.
Yeah, it's a physician's order for life-sustaining treatment.
Yeah.
Hey. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I remembered.
Acronyms. Woohoo.
Yeah. I live in acronyms.
Yeah, I bet.
Pulsed. And it's basically what they refer to as advanced directives also.
Right, right.
But it's really specific. And you fill it out and you have your doctor sign off on it. And it tells specifically what life-sustaining treatment you want or don't want.
Right.
You know, there are those that say, hook me up to anything possible, and if they've got a new machine, I want that too.
Right, sure. Mm-hmm.
There's others that say, you know, I'll have passive oxygen only.
Right.
But I don't want to be fed through a feeding tube, or I don't want a respirator. So
right.
It's very specific that way.
Right.
And once it's signed and the doctor signs off on it, then the physicians are free to just say, okay,
right,
we don't have to do
to
that.
Follow it. And yeah. I know that and this is a whole nother topic, but just to briefly reference the idea of hospice. Boy, the hospice people here were so great. I just have to say that about them. They were also really good at saying, tell us what you want and what you don't want. And they helped with the Pulsed. And then, you know, there are certain medications that, you know, if someone's in a hospice situation, that situations are just comfort care but you can sort of decide what it is that you want to allow anybody to do. And, you know, when someone's in a hospice situation, you don't have to call 911 and have all those things that happen. Those mm-hmm. are never-ending emergencies that can happen in that kind of a situation. So anyway, there's a lot of help. I guess that's the thing. There's a lot of help and support, and preparing ahead of time is just a really great thing to do in this situation, as I'm finding out, you know. So mm-hmm. as the person who's kind of cleaning up afterwards and mm-hmm. doing all that, I mean, I'm supremely grateful. And I think your loved ones would be for any of us would be grateful too, to realize that, wow, this is just, it's hard enough to deal with losing somebody that you love without all this other bureaucratic stuff. It can be very frustrating when all you're trying to do is straighten out something that really mm-hmm. needs to be straightened out. So what we're telling you today are things that you can do to minimize that kind of thing happening. So
Too, there's the sometimes you have time to do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes
you don't.
People are aging and they're getting, you
it's
know.
It's a crisis situation.
Like you said, with your parents and stuff. And
right.
it's kind of like, okay, well, we're going to start putting this stuff in motion. But that also allows us to get lazy sometimes and say, well, I got time, I'll do it. But something can happen real sudden and you need all that now and it wasn't done.
Or it's just, you know, it's just too painful to think about doing it. I totally understand that. I mean, my dad used to say to me, you should clean out my house. And I'm like, you know, because that to me, that meant that if I did that, he'd die. I mean, my primitive, my reptile brain, you know, and so I totally understand if you can't do any of these things. We're just kind of telling you what are some things you could do if you mm-hmm. feel comfortable mm-hmm. with it. And
or if the situation has already occurred, this is information what you're
right.
going to have to do for your loved one that passed away to, you know, sew up loose ends.
So now on your list here, Suzanne, there's look into employment benefits. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Well, Doug kind of reached on that as far as, you know, if there was any pensions that might go over to the spouse or something like that. If they are still working, if they're still receiving or retired and receiving those kind of benefits, you know, contact the employer so then they can kind of point you in the right direction of what you need to complete.
And then life insurance policies. So you need to probably know whether your loved one even had that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that also goes back to employment. Some agencies or businesses, you know, that's part of their benefit package is a paid life insurance.
Yeah.
there.
Oh, yeah.
And some you can continue afterwards to make those payments. Some you can't. It's all contingent upon being part of whatever agency mm-hmm. or whatever. So if they're still, like Suzanne said, actively employed, then there's, you know, some benefit there that you mm-hmm. needs to come your way. And so, it pays to just check and talk and, you know, talk to the HR people and the companies mm-hmm. and with your, you know, DPOA in hand.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Well, I know that durable power of attorney was the gateway to, you know, because I would call up and try and talk to someone about a credit card bill for my dad and say, I just want to understand. And they'd be like, we can't talk to you until we have that, which I get. I mean, mm-hmm. that's great security. Of course, the people who don't want to give you information are really just doing the job they should be doing, which is protecting the security of the account for the person. So the gateway for you is that durable power of attorney,
right.
because once they have that document, then they have the right to talk to you about mm-hmm. Whatever it is, you know, the bill or the account or something. So, I mean, those protections are in place for a really good reason. It just can be incredibly frustrating when you know that you're just trying to help. So probate attorney, what is that? Most people hear that term probate attorney, but what is that all about? I mean, so people are always saying, you know.
Well, there are attorneys that specialize in probate.
That's the affairs of someone who's passed away.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's, okay. they specifically, they'll do wills and probates. Those are all kind of tied together. Mm-hmm. And if there is probate necessary, unlike what your dad did for you, you know, where he had it all taken care of, and, you know, as soon as he passes, that went to you. There's no questions, no anything. If there's other people out there, or there's liens on the property or any of that kind of stuff, then it has to go into probate and people can lay claims to the estate and all of that. Mm-hmm. So having an attorney sort through that, they can tell you specifically what you have to say and what you don't have to say, mm-hmm. and how long it has to run and where it has to run. And they're very, very good at keeping it very rigid because they've seen it, you know, float away sometimes. So,
yeah, right. And you can work with them to put an executor of the on the estate so that mm-hmm. they are the prime decision maker, whether you want one person or a couple people on that. So,
yeah. So I think so there are some times when it's really useful and well worth the money to get an attorney. Mm-hmm. A lot of us don't even know an attorney, mm-hmm. but to find one who can help you with these kind of things, they just know what to do. I mean, it just, we met with an attorney and it was just really, really, it turned out to be the best thing.
Mm-hmm.
It cost a little bit of money, not a whole lot, but it was really worth every cent in terms mm-hmm. of no hassle, no problems.
And I think too, if you have like multiple family members, mm-hmm. To take the stress out of things.
Right, right.
hopefully. The other one that I thought was really interesting was notifying the election board. So
yes.
I read, and I got this from ARP, and they were they have a list of things to do, but they were saying that almost 2 million people are on the voters registration rolls that are passed away.
Wow.
I never
Isn't
even
that
occurred to me.
That's wild. And so then for identity theft, that's not good.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know how that works, but they are saying that is one area where you can notify.
Wow, I had no idea. That's
Neither
a really
did
good
I.
one. That is a really good one. So now you have here notify financial advisors and stockbrokers, of course, people who have investments, mortgage companies and banks. So utilities. Yeah, like you. So we were talking about utilities before mm-hmm. the show. So a little bit about why you should not shut off the utilities.
Yeah, for some obvious reasons is a house that doesn't have working and running water and electricity can deteriorate pretty fast. So if you don't know how long it's going to take you to move everything out of the house and put it on the market and all that, it's always good to keep that going. The other side of that is also to make it not look empty, so
right.
it won't be attractive to any
sure.
theft or anything like that. Lawn care services, mm-hmm. you know, you can go ahead and keep that going if there's funds to keep that going, obviously, first. And so it looks like someone's living there and the house
right.
is maintained and, you know, for obvious reasons, for resale factors.
Yeah. Closing credit card accounts, I found that to be pretty easy to do. And I supplied a copy of the death certificate. So, and they, I think with them, it was just a photocopy so that they could justify closing the accounts. And that was, so notify credit reporting agencies. That's really interesting on your list here, Suzanne. So, because I didn't even think of the identity theft aspect to this. So that, you know, Equifax, Experian, and those mm-hmm. type of things, you can get information, but that was something that I just didn't. And canceling their driver's license, like officially canceling their driver's license, that's really interesting because that's a huge piece of ID.
Mm-hmm, sure. Hmm. Yeah, anytime you can cancel anything that, you know, with any kind of agency or, you know, memberships or anything like that, so you can cut down on that, it's going to be very
I think
important.
A good rule of thumb is, yeah, mm-hmm. that anybody you can think of and beyond, anyone, ask other people, you know,
yeah.
who all did you notify in all of this? Because the more people you notify, like you said, the less chance of someone picking up that piece
yeah.
of identity and running
mm-hmm.
with it.
Because a lot of times, you know, with the agencies and things like that, they might, you know, state agencies, Social Security might notify, you know, we all are kind of interconnected in some ways. And so we find out.
Yeah.
But, it doesn't hurt to call if just to make sure that, you know, if something didn't get communicated. So it doesn't
mm-hmm.
hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we have this list of different agencies and companies and things to do to check off on to make sure that they are completed, because, you know, it's life and we're all human and we make mistakes. So it's always good to make sure you contact everybody that you can think of.
Hmm. And I thought that this, well, this is something that I'm still dealing with, which is contact a tax preparer. So my dad died right around the time when you file taxes, so I just did an extension because I couldn't deal with any of it. And so now I'm going to have to essentially go file his taxes and figure out how to do that. So, you know, what do you do when the person you're filing for isn't there anymore? I mean, it's just, wow. So I don't know. But I mean, so that's part of it too.
There is something referred to that I found when I was digging for some information called a designated agent for after-death arrangements. And they put it as an addendum to the DPOA. So that might be something that, again, if you're talking to an attorney while you're getting your DPOA drawn up or something, you could ask about that. You know, once they're gone, could I be the designated agent so I can continue to take care of the arrangements that need to be done?
So is that different from an executor? Then, boy, I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I just ran into
questions to ask. Yeah, so, I mean, I think it is, I mean, it varies from state to state, but you should find out, you know, having a will is probably a really good idea, you know.
Wills or trusts, you know, and that's working with those attorneys, that's what they can kind of help you decide what's going to be the most appropriate.
Right, so a good attorney could let you know, well, you know, your affairs are not that complicated, you can do this and this and this, or if you really have stuff that would be more complex, a trust can protect your family and you and your assets and all that. But that's something for a good attorney that specializes in that kind of thing.
Some people think, oh, I have to get an attorney, or I don't have money to get an attorney to do that. But, you know, there are some, even with employer benefits, that have different organizations that can help you write up wills and things like that.
Yeah.
So those are things you can
certainly
be proactive to look
at. Yeah, we have senior legal advice clinics that for free. People over 60 can come in and they'll do a simple will, you know, and that type of POAs and all that.
So for people who are thinking about this and maybe later on you'll go, I want to do something about that, you can, if you're in Oregon, you can just call Northwest Senior and Disability Services, or in Washington, the Olympic Area Agency on Aging, and they will refer you to people who can help you with those things. So it's not like you have to remember everything that we've said here today, but just the idea is to be thinking in terms of that there is a lot of information out there for you and a lot of things to be thinking about that could really smooth the way after a something like this. Let me see here. What else? So we talked about the elections. I don't know.
Can I add something?
Sure.
I was thinking about this on the way over. There's so many details, as you know, that you have to take care of, and there's so many pieces of paper, so many documents, so many proofs, so many people to contact, all of that, that you get into this sort of whirlwind busyness. When one of the biggest things you need to do during this time is to make sure that you're taking care of yourself.
Yes.
Caregiving, you think, well, they're gone now, but it isn't over. You're still taking care of all this stuff that trails after us as we pass. And I think that sometimes there's been some isolation because you've been taking care of someone else. So some of your past acquaintances you haven't been spending time with, some of your hobbies that you haven't, reconnect. That's really important to reconnect as soon as possible. So you've got some support, got some outside interest and some energy going on.
And we're working on a follow-up show to this about the whole topic of grief. You know, it's really complex and it's a gobsmacker. And we don't talk about it much. And so we're kind of, the three of us here are kind of putting together a show for maybe next time. We hope that will be about, You know, all this stuff, getting through all this stuff is hard enough, but then after that, you sort of have to deal with yourself and how you feel about it. And it's complex. So we are getting to the point in the show when we do contact information.
She has her information for
you. You do. That's really good. So, Suzanne, if you've been listening to the show, you heard some stuff that was interesting, but you don't really quite remember or you're driving or all that. The two organizations that are represented on the show represent both sides of the Columbia, Oregon and Washington in our area. And they're just tremendous, tremendous sources of information about all kinds of things relating to aging. So, Suzanne, how can people contact Northwest Senior and Disability Services in Oregon?
They can contact us at www.nwsds.org, or our local number is 503-861-4202. And I also want to throw one other thing in there real quick. We have a conference coming up that is September 7th, a Saturday, and it will be called the Conference on Extraordinary Living. It's for ages 50 and older. And again, September 7th from 8:30 to 1:30, a free lunch will be provided. And let me just let you know who's all affiliated with that. We have Clatsop Community College, and that's where it's going to be located. We have Columbia Memorial Hospital, Providence Hospital, Sunset Empire in Seaside, Encore, Columbia or Northwest Senior and Disability Services, Susanna Lease Assisted Living, and Avamere at Seaside. These are the different organizations that have come together and companies to put on this conference. And it's going to be various breakout sessions and topics of interest for people 50 and older. Nutrition, we have information. We're going to have information on Medicare there. We're going to have various booths of different companies from the area coming to present and being there as a representation. So invite people to come. Again, it's a free conference. Lunch is provided. It's half day. So please come.
Okay. Doug, how about you? How do the people get a hold of you in Washington?
In North Pacific County, the phone number for our office in Raymond is 360-942-2177. And in Long Beach, it's 360-642-3634. And our website is www.o3a.org. The three is the numeral three.
And that is the Olympic Area Agency on Aging. Well, you have been listening to A Senior Moment, the show for and about seniors. I'm Joanne Rideout. I've been here in the studio this month with Suzanne Bjornson from Northwest Senior and Disability Services and Doug Schaefer from the Olympic Area Agency on Aging. Thanks to both of you for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And we'll see you next time on A Senior Moment.